So please spread to where that they can see the meetings that for those that could not attend.
It's a very great resource. We're very happy to have it going on. So thank you, John. All right. So items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The board may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. The board may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting are forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners Zoning Commission or the Clark County Planning Commission for final action. Please turn off or mute all cell phones and other electronic devices. Please take all private conversations outside the room. With a 48-hour advance request, a sign language interpreter or other reasonable efforts to assist and accommodate persons with physical disabilities may be made available by calling the toll-free numbers listed on your agenda. Supporting material provided to the board members for this meeting may be requested from Tammy Harris at 702-298-0828. Supporting material will also be available at the Clark County Department of Administrative Services, 500 South Grand Central Parkway, 6th floor, Las Vegas, Nevada. Supporting material is also available on the county's website at clarkcountynv.gov/searchlighttab. Board members Kyle Myers, James Allen, Kim Colton, Kaylin McGinnis, Robert Shaw. Secretary Tammy Harris, County Liaison Mark Moskowitz. And at this time, I'd like to call the meeting to order. And if we could all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. Moving on to roll call, Kyle Myers here, James Allen.
Present.
Kim Colton.
Here.
Kaylin McGinnis.
Here.
And Robert Shaw. Four present and one absent. Moving on to public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. If applicable, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Any public comment out there? All right, moving on to approval of minutes for October 11th, 2023.
Make a motion to approve.
Motion to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Approval of October 11th, 2023's minutes. And approval of the agenda for November 15th, 2023, and hold, combine, or delete any items.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Approval of the agenda for November 15th. And moving on to informational items. Number one, receive a report and updates from the South County Liaison, Mark Moskowitz, regarding the trunk or treat and any other updates from Clark County.
Perfect, thank you, Chair. I first wanna start by just thanking the SBO for putting on an amazing trunk or treat. I was unable to attend because I know it was on Halloween, but thank you so much for all your organization, Kyle and Michelle, for what you do for this community. I know so many children are able to experience it safely through Halloween, which I know Michelle and I were talking about today of how wonderful it is. So I just wanted to thank you and thank the whole community as well for doing that. That was a great experience, and I heard rave reviews. I always want to thank Sue Bishop with Silver Rider, because I know they do a fantastic job with the bus. I saw the one in Laughlin, and I asked Sue if I could drive the bus, and she said no. But otherwise, it looks very, very nice. So that's always a great resource that we bring to the community. And I'm so thankful for Southern Nevada Transit Coalition as being on their board to be able to have all these great events that they do for our community. So that's my only major update. Commissioner Knapp's newsletters for November are on the back table. Like as always, they have a lot of great information, but please let us know if you want electronically. We can email it to you, and those are all my updates, so thank you.
Thank you, Mark. I'd just like to say we have such a great community here, and an event like that really couldn't happen without all of you. So thank you for coming, and it was a really great event. And thank you, Silver Rider and Sue. Special shout out to you guys. Haunted Bus is amazing every year. Does anybody have anything for Mark? Anybody out there have any questions for Mark? Kim does?
Yeah, Mark, can you please give us an update on the boat storage? And we know that code enforcement has, and zoning has closed the boat storage, which is down on the corner of Main Street and Cottonwood Cove.
Yeah.
And now the boats are being moved to a new facility here across the street from the community center. Which the zoning has never come before the board for that. Can you please?
Yeah, I can give a quick update. So the boat yard that's right on kind of Cottonwood and right by 95, that one was denied, and they need to remove all their boats. That was the action. We have two new code officers, Officer Carey, who's been in Searchlight for a while. He recently got a new position. So they transitioned it to two new officers that are kind of getting up to speed. I can let you know, I've spoke with Officer Mann actually 20 minutes ago because it had come up again to my attention. There is an active case on that parcel. I don't have any more information, but generally what happens when an active case happens, and I want to say that one probably was submitted maybe a week or a week and a half ago, what they have to do is they have to first go out there and investigate it, then they have to send a letter to the property owners, and then they have to give the property owners time to rectify it. So that's why it might not take a lot of time, but as I know a lot of the residents here, let us know when you see that stuff happening. Let us send us videos and photos. You can always email it to myself or Tammy. That helps us to provide that to code. Code is not here all the time. But also it's hard, like, you know, when they're here, stuff isn't happening, they can't really see it. But if we're able to show them, like, this is what happened, and please do this all safely, don't do anything that's going to put you in harm's way or danger or go and confront anyone, use your own judgment, please. But stuff like that, if you can, you know, drive by and just take a picture and stuff and send those to us, those we can always add to the case with code. So that's the current update. They're working. They know that they need to follow up with the original boatyard, and then also on this current boatyard to let them know that they want to do boat storage. They have to kind of do the same process to get the proper permitting. So, yeah. And unfortunately, I know that it is currently happening, and that's discouraging. And I know hopefully we will be able to get it all taken care of. So.
Okay, thank you for that. And if we can put an immediate stop to it, since now before we had one issue, now it's split into two issues. So now it's doubled. The first issue is never resolved, and it's
correct. And I will continue to follow up with our two code officers and Officer Mann as well, and kind of I'm getting them up to speed with everything, because what happened is all the cases that Officer Carey had, they kind of had to take them over and then kind of like reassess them all. And
so now we have two officers now as opposed to one.
Yes, two officers right now. I don't know how the breakout works of it. I think they're kind of going in together kind of to get up speed. I've met with the two officers. I met with them maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago just to introduce myself. I expressed the main concerns, issues with the community that I'm aware of, and what I've heard before. So they are kind of they know what to expect, they know what to look for and all that. And I'll be completely honest and transparent, the first thing I mentioned was the boat storage yard. So that was first thing after they said hello to me. So, yeah.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Of course, yeah.
I do have one more question, please. It was brought to my attention that there were some community members that were upset with the voting that occurred on the helicopter pad. And I think there was some confusion that it was approved. And what it was approved conditionally for one more year from that date, which I don't remember the date. from that date for residents to be able to still submit complaints, concerns, issues with the people that put the helicopter pad at the end of Grandpa's Road or Oregon Trail?
Oregon Trail,
thanks, Judy. So I just want to make sure very clear that people know that they have the right to make any complaints. From what I understood from these town members, that they were calling the police department, and that's not getting them recorded. So for the one gentleman, I did explain that it needs to go to code enforcement, I believe, or?
Yeah, so there's, I don't know the specifics of that one. I remember it sounds very familiar. I don't want to comment on what they are. We can look up the old case, but there's several ways for people to submit stuff to the county, because a lot of times what'll happen, we'll ask for public comment and we'll look and there'll be nothing on anything. You can always do stuff in the works. You can email it to intheworks@clarkcounty.org, or you can use their app. There's also public response office, which is part of code as well, that you can directly email them. And you can always copy our office, copy myself or Tammy on it, just so we're aware. And we can sometimes help navigate where they need to go. And if all else fails, I'd say just email to our office. We have Tammy, myself, and John down there that we can figure out to make sure it goes to the right department. The best thing I can always say is when you send us stuff, let us know the parcel number if you know, or the address, and if you have any photos of a description, because a lot of times we'll get photos where it's like zoomed in on like a hole and we don't know where that is. So if you can maybe zoom out a little bit or let us know like an intersection, that really helps to kind of streamline what it is, and we'll kind of get it into the system. So, yeah.
Thank you for that. Can you get provide the town with that date, the deadline date for submittal? Because I know it would be limited by the date it was approved from the county commissioners.
Yeah, Tammy and myself, we can look into it to find when the next renewal is, where that is where they will review if there's been anything. And that's normal with any case too. Like when they do the conditions for approval with renewals, they're gonna see, oh, was there 5 code cases, like what has changed? So yes, we will look into that and find out that date.
Just provide the date next month so that the town is continually aware of a deadline coming up, and that it will be moving forward at that point if there were not any further complaints or concerns with the helicopter pad and the owners there.
Yep, yes, of course.
I think that's it. Thank you very
much. Thank you.
Well, if I can just jump in, I thought I saw this property for sale, so this may not be an issue.
I was about to say the same thing. I did notice that the property is now listed for sale. Okay. So I don't know if that affects the gentleman's application originally, or that just changes the whole situation, or?
I don't have an answer for that. I would want to check with comprehensive planning and the application to see what it says, like there's a change in ownership, stuff like that. So yeah, okay. We can definitely look into it.
Provide that next year. Fantastic.
Thanks, everybody. All right, so informational item number 2, recognize Teresa Marshall for Halloween Haunted House to the community of Searchlight. Teresa is going to join us here in a bit, so we're going to go. I'm going to go ahead and motion to table this item at the end of the informational items.
I'll second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item tabled. Item number 3, received a report from Metro Police regarding activity and statistics during the past month and other area crime concerns.
Service for Searchlight, 2023, 28 calls, 2,231. This is a 9% drop in calls. Traffic citations 15, 1 DUI. We have 0 domestic violence for adults or juveniles. And then 2 adult arrests. Business area, we got terribles. We had 2 calls in September, 4 in October. BB Motel, there's been 1 call in September and 1 October, and Rebel, 0 calls from the month of October. So far, we're still doing good. Searchlight is a very good place to be. Crime is low, which is always good. You guys hear any kind of rumors? I'm a throw this out there, because this is about me. So I'm going to throw this out there to you guys. You hear a rumor that I am paying people to beat up other people in this town. It's fake. It's not true. Okay? You ask yourself several questions about my character. Is it worth my integrity? Probably not. Is it worth my retirement? Probably not. Is it worth my family? Probably not. Okay? So let's get out of the way right now and stuff. I don't do stuff that's that would put a bad light on the department or our community. Okay? So whoever's got that rumor, squash it. Any questions?
Any questions out there for Metro? Anything from the board? All right. Thank you, Austin.
James?
No questions.
Right. Item number four, receive a report from Kim Colton, Searchlight Volunteer Fire District, regarding calls for service during the past month and other fire prevention issues.
Kim Colton, Searchlight Volunteer Fire Department. In October, we had 9 calls for service, 6 of which were medical and 3 were for fire. This is a 47% decrease from last year where we had 19 calls. So we're down quite a bit. One upcoming thing that we have going on is this coming Saturday, we have our annual turkey shoot. We're not shooting turkeys. The prizes are turkeys. So it's the trap shoot. And we also have games for the kids. And we will have hot dogs and chili. And it's a really good time. So it will be Saturday, November 18th. From 9 a.m. to approximately 1 p.m. And for the games for the kids, the shooting games, we do supply guns and we teach gun safety. And it's a great family event, so please come on out if you can. This is a little off topic, but I have a guest speaker tonight who I met on a fire. So I'm just going to introduce you. I don't think that microphone's working, though, and it's important what this gentleman has to say. So while I was on the fire the other day, it was a semi-truck fire, and a gentleman stopped to help in law enforcement, and his name is Mr. Taylor. It's Kenny Taylor, and he is our constable. So if he could just give up, I asked him to come to the meeting today just so that he could, because we as a community were not aware of who our constable is and what the constable what things that you can help us with and when we can come to you as a community. Yeah. So, yeah, if I don't know if it's going to work.
It doesn't matter. I'm allowed.
Okay.
So, like Kim said, I met her on a fire the other day. I was actually driving, and I realized that there was a vehicle fire, so it gave me a reason to drive a little faster and turn on my lights. But anyways, so I stopped to assist to make sure traffic was moving stuff before fire got there. Like she said, my name's Kenny Taylor. I'm a constable at Henderson. As of January 2nd of this year, I took over Boulder City, Searchlight, all the way to Calamar. So some people's confusion is because I'm elected in Henderson Township, but I'm elected through Clark County. So basically, it's essentially the same as Kevin McMahon, for the sheriff of Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, which I work closely with in Henderson and even out here. All of my training, my officers, my deputies, is all done through. We work a lot together, and they've actually come out to assist me before, so that's who we call if there's only one of us out here. We need a backup unit. So essentially what my office does is, the constable is kind of like the civil sheriff. So everything on the civil side we handle. We can make arrests, and we do make arrests, but that's not our primary objective. But if we do go somewhere and someone has a warrant or they refuse to leave or whatever, especially during the eviction, we will remove them with whatever force he has. Choose the ends of an arrest, and then Metro comes up. Okay, so that's kind of that. On the other side is we do garnishments, like writs of garnishments. Like if someone has a lawsuit that they've won and they've gotten a judgment and they're not making payments on it, they'll go to our office and we'll actually garnish the wages if they're employed. That's some of the things. We do quite a few things. We do summons, subpoenas. If you do have someone that you want to take to court or whatnot and want them served, our office will go out and serve them. And so sometimes people use a process server, but generally our office is a lot cheaper to have us using it. It's a lot better in court when we testify with a body cam that we were there. Our vehicles are GPS, so we can prove we're at the location of the person that we serve. That's essentially it, abandoned vehicles, if you have abandoned vehicles, which is something that I've been coming out here to do. And fortunately, the people moved them after I told them I would be back the following day. So they realized when I come back the next day, it's gone. So I know Metro, I think you guys assist something with that too, with the abandoned vehicles and stuff like that. The motorhomes is something that's becoming an issue. People are calling my office, people park them. And if they're not registered or insured, I tell them immediately. It just sometimes goes with the situation too. It depends on if the person's rolling down. They need a day or two, but they can't drive it with me there. They can't operate it. So, you know, I just make that perfectly clear. But that generally ends in a tow. Unfortunately, the tow service, whenever they do it for a motorhome, is $275 per hour. So it's generally about $2,000 to $4,000 to tow. So that's not including the impound fee. So the chances of getting that back is slim to none. So unless you have a means to get it. Vehicles are the same. We come out, if there's no insurance or registration on them, usually I'll tow them. If they're blocking the driveway, I tow them immediately. The one thing I do recommend to the citizens here is if you do have a vehicle that meets that description, if there is a plate, write down the plate number in the state, if it's Nevada, California, wherever, Arizona, and let us know what state it is so we can run in and see. That way, if it's stolen, I can notify Metro immediately to go out there and recover the stolen vehicle. That's essentially it. So primarily what we'll do out here is the evictions. So.
So Kenny, we do have a lot of abandoned vehicles. So if you're saying if that's on private property, you will
not
move them?
Not private property.
Okay.
Private property, that's a code enforcement thing.
Okay.
Or if someone's living in something that they shouldn't be. Or if there's a residence that has a, say, a motorhome or a trailer that's parked on their property and someone's living in it, so it's an additional dwelling on that property, that's a code enforcement as well. And generally what I do is if I'm called out, even though it's not my thing, I'll let them know that the fines are substantial on those because the electrical plumbing, you know, and so on. So usually that ends quickly too. So.
Well, good. And if you've got any cards you could leave in the back,
yeah.
And it's just that's what I'm very grateful for your help on the fire, which he did stop and protect was myself and another volunteer firefighter because it was right on the shoulder of the highway, and so he blocked the lane to make sure that we were safe. So he's multi-purpose, and we're glad to have him. As I said, is that, you know, the community has not been aware, nor were we aware of the change in January that I knew of.
Yeah,
it was kind of a sudden thing. What happened is Steve Hampy, that was the Boulder City Constable, he didn't run for office again, and I don't believe anyone knew. I did it. So what the county did is I couldn't, my idea was to take over the office for 4 years and then let someone be elected back into it. By Nevada law, you can't hold two elected offices at the same time, so therefore they abolished it. And then I just took it over. So I have an employee there, and then I have five in the Henderson office. So we do about 12 to 1,400 services a month. Evictions, right now we do about 100 a week at times, so it just kind of fluctuates. But I did bring some binders that have just the understanding of the eviction process, so if anyone has any questions, they can look through there. You can all leave some business cards. It's best to always call my office, because I basically try to run the law enforcement side, and then have my staff run the front side, because our laws and things constantly change, and I don't want to tell you something that they just told you something different. So, but I've been in law enforcement for about 15 years. I'm pretty well connected. I've lived in Henderson my whole life, and I'm kind of connected here. My father-in-law is Bruce Woodbury, so I married his daughter, Missy Woodbury, which I saw his name when I first walked into the city center and stuff. Anyways, if there's anything else I can do for you guys, you can always feel free if you have questions. I can't give you legal advice, but I will give you common sense advice. So on and so forth. Anything else?
No, I appreciate you. And as I said, I wasn't sure how long you could stay. I know you came in after so we could talk. And I didn't want to have you to wait to the end in case. So that's why I put you on as my guest speaker.
Yeah, I came to be here as long as it goes.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the introduction. Any questions for Kim with the Searchlight Volunteer Fire District? Anything from the board? Thank you, Kim. And I'm sorry.
Kenny Taylor.
Kenny Taylor. Thank you again. And moving on to item number 5, receive a report from Sandra Yasinchuk with Justice Court regarding statistics and other activities during the past month.
This is the report for October 2023. For calendar, we did 21 arraignments, 18 status checks, all hearing trials about 16, not to include walk-ins for traffic, actions taken, case type filings, new civil citations filed, 211, new traffic or misdemeanor citations, 76, new criminal complaints for total cases closed, 266. And our court dates are always every other week. Tuesday's criminal, Wednesday's traffic. They're open to the public. We begin at 10. Any questions?
Any questions from the board? For Sandy? Anything from the public? All right. Thank you, Sandy.
Thanks.
Item number 6, receive a report from Kathy Flanagan with Las Vegas Valley Water District regarding the status of the water system.
Good evening. So Searchlight's water use for October of last year was 3.63 million gallons. In comparison, October of this year, you all used about 3.72 million gallons. So it's a very slight increase of 90,000 gallons. We consider that breaking even. So. We had no system leaks to report in October. We did have to pull and replace the pump on the S2 well site, but that is now back in service, and I'm going to guess no one even knew we did that. So. At the last meeting, several board members asked me some questions, so I'll go through those now. Mr. Allen, you asked me how much more development Searchlight Water System can hold up with the current infrastructure. At the last meeting, Ms. Colton correctly remembered that we had reported we could do 90 new single-family connections. We've upped that number now to 95. That would be easy for us to do. But I want to remind everybody that you have about 47 inactive connections. The Cottonwood Lake Home Subdivision had been cleared for 65 connections, and the airport was approved for 86. Now, those connections stay with the parcels, so it's not like if somebody else bought another parcel, we could just move them over, but they are there. And you also ask how much more development can Searchlight withstand. That's tricky when it comes to discussing commercial and industrial, because every developer, every development, every business is different, and it has a different water footprint. But what I'd like to point out is, in Las Vegas, the most commonly asked question we get is, why do you guys keep developing when Lake Mead looks as bad as it does? The answer to that is, because of our conservation efforts, since 2002, we have been able to reduce our per capita water use by 49%. At the same time, we got 750,000 new residents. So we have successfully decoupled growth from water scarcity or from water use. And that can be done in Searchlight as well. So what I would say is, if developers are knocking on your door, have them knock on ours. Let's talk it out. Let's figure out how we can set them up to be successful and also have a very small water footprint. I was asked what infrastructure would be needed for development. If we had our wish list, and if we thought we were going to see a large development, we would probably increase your storage capacity. You currently have two storage tanks, and they can hold about 416,000 gallons of water, more than enough for this community. If we saw large growth about to happen, we would take steps to increase that. But what we do in Las Vegas and what we would do here is that is at the cost of the developer. They have to pay for that infrastructure. We don't put that on the backs of the ratepayers. You guys couldn't handle it. Nobody could. I was asked information on the well levels. And I put a few of these in the back, and I gave these to the board members. This shows the water use, or the water levels over the last 10 years. It is pretty even. We really don't have concerns about your water levels out here. So I would, and all this information can always be found on the Las Vegas Valley website, too, just so you know. And then, Mr. Myers, you asked me about pipeline work on Gallery. Oh boy, did I hear a lot about that. It seems we were under an agreement with the Army Corps of Engineers, and we had reached a point where we had finished all this construction we were currently working on and received all of our payments. And the Army Corps said, you know what? This agreement is so old, it's outdated. Let's cancel this one and we'll issue you a new one. And that's where the Gatlin project was going to come in. It was the first thing under that new agreement. They haven't given us that new agreement yet. Now that I know this, I have our grant specialist knocking on their door every day saying, where is Searchlight's agreement to get this going? Once we get that agreement in hand, we will do the design work. And we do expect we're going to have some issues with right-of-way acquisitions. So we would think that you would see that work done 18 months, possibly 24 months after we get that agreement. And when I know that we've gotten the agreement, I'll let you guys know.
Very informative.
If I missed anything, or
thanks, Kathy, addressing those.
Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to the Searchlight agreement, was that just like a one project deal, or was that like there's a larger scope?
Yeah, we usually give them a scope of several different projects we want to accomplish. And Gatlin was in that first agreement. We'd only gone to 10% on the design. So they were like, well, let's just stop you here and put that into the next agreement.
Well, thanks for getting all that info for us.
Can you clarify what the Gatlin project was, or is continuing to be what it is?
Pipeline replacements is what I was told.
Going up the hill? Okay. And yeah, it's a concern for the residents there because they're so old and washed out.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Fantastic that you're going to follow up on it because it would have gotten dropped in it. Are you the one who brought it up?
Yes, yes. I believe last
thank
week.
You both.
Yeah, you did, so thank you for that.
Right. I for your good memories.
Thank you, I appreciate the getting us the info. That was awesome. Well, is there anything from the board?
No, and I think that you clarified then, so that it looks like the water has stayed stable and hasn't decreased with the increase in homes that we've had, like you said, through conservation and issues, and it keeps replenishing.
Yes, we had a really good water winter last winter. We're hoping for another one this year. That doesn't solve all of our water problems here in Southern Nevada, but it helps a lot, and especially a community like this that relies on the groundwater. Lake Mead is still scary.
Yeah.
But you guys are
fun. It's good to know, and that's just reassuring for our community to know that, you know, we are not going to end up like a Las Vegas, even with growth back to, you know, a good-sized town that we need.
And honestly, now that I'm realizing I'm on camera, Las Vegas is safe, too, because we spend the money to put the third intake at the bottom of Lake Mead. We will be able to draw water else can. So Las Vegas is fine too.
Clarify. Last question I have for you is, you said there was 65 at connections at the subdivision across the way and 86 at the air park. So those aren't included?
No, those aren't in the 95. Okay. 95 would be brand new connections.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Any questions out there for the water district? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, item number 7, receive a report from Sue Bishop, Senior Operations Supervisor with Southern Nevada Transit Coalition.
Good evening. Mike Jackson was going to try to join us because he had some things he wanted to talk about, but he couldn't make it. So he thinks that this long report I should do. So I just want to let you guys know, Searchlight Express Rider Reports has gone up immensely. It's about doubled other than September, but we all have bad months. So, I mean, that's working out well. We're getting up not just the same people. We're being able to pick up newer people, which is nice. Now, the Vegas report obviously has gone up too. What I really wanted to look at was our Vegas ridership from Searchlight to Vegas or from Searchlight to Laughlin. From the past year to this year, and every month it's at least double. So I mean, it's still, you know, it's not woohoo, But eight people and seven people, that is extreme, because we're used to, you know, one or two maybe, or just nobody. So we're appreciated that that's working out, and people are seeing your sign, and that's the one guy called and said, hey, you come here because you have a sign right at a bus stop. I got excited, so we're going to pick you up at the bus stop. Now I'm going to Terrible's. I want McDonald's. I was a little bummed, but...
At least there's a sign, though.
There's a sign. So, now, a general update. The SNTC Laughlin organization statewide continue with the workforce shortage. We are still short. We have been able to. Now, we are a nonprofit, so we have to go by 1 or 2 years back to give raises. We were finally able to get us up to $16 an hour. I know that's not a lot, but for our community, that's quite a bit. We went from 13 to 16, so we were able to bring it up $3. We're hoping with our new grants coming up for the next year, we'll be able to boost it up another couple dollars. We're trying to get closer to it so we can get people, obviously. Not a lot of people still really want to work, and if they have a CDL, they like the over the road because the money is a lot better. But then they're gone all the time, so I don't see the purpose of it. So it's getting a little better. We still got ways to go. Our 5339 capital grants. We have received the quotes for our new low floor. We are gonna. We came up just over 200,000. The price of those low floors went up extremely. So we've had to cut things out. We were gonna have them painted, put the new camera system in it, and do a lot of different things. We've had to cut that out because the price went too high. We're working with RTC to get our match, and then we should have them within the year. We got a new Vegas bus, and it's a low floor, meaning it has no stairs. So we have less chances for anybody tripping, falling, less problems with our seniors being able to get on and off the bus. It is a ramp and not a lift, so you got less chance of a wheelchair popping off. So, I mean, we're going with the safety. It costs us a little more, but safety will prevail on our costs. So hopefully we'll have our new Vegas and a new local one for Laughlin, which will probably be used in our Searchlight. We still do that twice a month. So we're hoping that'll be for that one too. One of my big projects that I'm very proud of is our working with our community, and that's working with Searchlight. 15 years ago, my company did a Santa. We brought kids in from Laughlin. I'm not sure about Searchlight because nobody can remember, but it was a long ago. We brought that program back. We were told in the beginning we would only be able to do about 100 children, and so we went with that. Last week we got told we have no cutoff. So we're going to be able to take care of every elementary kid in Laughlin, and we're working on the second part of that program is taking care of our teens. Our teens miss out because once you're between the ages of 13 and 17, nobody has a program for them. So our program, we're going to be bringing that in, but we're concentrating for that part of the program for mainly Searchlight. Our young children are taken care of by Shop with a Cop or those other programs. Our teens got nothing. So our first dedication will be for our teens here in Laughlin. I'm hearing there's approximately 15. So, and I know you guys are raising some money. We are put our collection out, so we're trying to get our money there. So whenever we can get that, we're hoping around December 16th of just taking the teens and a couple volunteers. No offense, I'm not trying to be rude, but I don't want the parents. I want the kids to just spend this on themselves. I don't want to give them a gift card or give them the money and say good luck, because if some parents, at least in my area, tend to take that funds and buy what they think they need. This has to be about our teens, just like it is with our Shop with the Cop kids. So it's important that we take them. So I'll bring a bus up, we'll collect the kids, a couple volunteers to go with me. We'll go down, we'll go shopping, get them what they needs and wants, and then we'll bring them back. So hopefully that all works out. I have cans and collection jars all over Laughlin. So we're working on that, and I got my fingers out on a couple of realtors they owe me, so we're going to beg for that. So the press release has gone out for the holidays. We'll be offering free rides on Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, and New Year's. This is for Laughlin locally. If your people here want to get on Vegas, I'm willing to work some deals if they want to go on those days that we do travel. We travel on New Year's Day to Vegas. We don't go New Year's Eve because it's too crazy and I'm not taking my bus out there. We do not travel on Christmas Day. So it doesn't really have a lot to do with y'all, but we'll work a deal if they want to go a couple days beforehand. I'm not worried about it. Reduced fare policy. We have now brought in another program for reduced fare, and that will affect your people too. Low-income families. We know people are struggling, but they still got to get out. They got to go to the doctors. They got to go to the grocery store. They got to get out of their house and have a little fun. So all they got to do is call us. We can get them the reduced fare application, and that will cut anything they have to pay in half. So, and that is going off of what they say. We're not going to ask for proof of what they're making, what they bring in. We're going on the honor roll. And it's because our communities here in Searchlight and Laughlin have been hurting too much, and we're tired of seeing people hurt. Because I know with my seniors, I've called them and said, hey, I haven't seen you in a while, because you know you worry about them when you don't see them. Why aren't you going to the store? I know you go at least once a week. Well, I don't have the money for the bus and that. So it's like, okay, then we'll give you a ride. So we decided to bring that program in. We got it approved by who we had to get it approved, and it's up and running. Another event that we had was our bus rodeo. So hopefully our next bus rodeo will invite a few more people. Maybe your board can come down and join us. We had Darryl Mark there. He got to drive a bus, oh, a 40-foot bus.
Yeah.
A little scary, I'm just saying. But still in one piece.
That's right.
But he did good. So we had a few of our local police that got to drive. So it was a lot of fun. We got prizes. I think it was 300, 200, and 100. Yeah. We had different size buses. We had NDOT there. We had just whoever we could get to have some fun. So we want to open it up to a few more people. It's not open to the public yet. Our program is small. It is an FDA property. We have to be careful who we just bring in. So hopefully we can get the approval to later on bring in some public and let you guys have a little fun, see what we do in there, see what our buses look like and how they can run. So it was a lot of fun. Oh, and then we had chili cook-off and coleslaw and potato salad. I want the coleslaw. So I just have to say that. All right, we've been participating in our health fairs to try to get our name out there. I know this is a long report and I apologize, but Mike likes to write a lot. We've done a few different health fairs. We've done National Night Out. We try to get involved in a lot because I'm nosy. And so I work with our local food bank to help with National Night Out. That was a lot of fun. Silver Rider wasn't involved really. I mean, I brought some stuff out, but it was mostly food bank and myself. We like to use our buses for the concerts. We do protection. So if anything ever happens up here and you guys need some help with buses, we'll bring them up and we'll secure you too. So, what about me? How rude. All right, Sue Bishop, Laughlin Operations Supervisor and Family, decorated the haunted bus. This was our second year here in Searchlight, our first year in Laughlin. They got a little jealous and got a little whiny, so I had to do one down there too. But it was a lot of fun, but I'm going to say I had more fun here in Searchlight than I did with my own community. But your kids and the adults made it more fun. So I appreciate you guys welcoming us in. And your little one went through it, I don't know, 50 times.
Look forward to it all year.
She didn't even get candy. She kept saying, I got some. She just kept going through. So it was a lot of fun. Hopefully we can make it a little bit more scarier next year. Every year we're trying to pick up our supplies on that, do a little bit different without totally freaking people out. Last but not least, myself for many years have been working in safety and security with my company. They've sent me, for 3 years I took classes, got my World Safety Officer license. Then I moved into my community, helping my community. I work with FEMA. I'm my Laughlin Local CERT Coordinator, which is the Community Emergency Response Team. I went to school to teach CERT so that we can open it up to other rural communities. We have recently opened it up to Searchlight, Calamari. We did a class here. Michelle was part of that, and she is now your new local CERT coordinator for Searchlight Calamari. you guys had a nice class. And we got a lot of people because they have to be registered with Clark County to be a part of the program. And your program here, once again, did better than my program down there. My people are lazy. I don't know what to say. So it's important to keep our communities talking, keep them open, keep us all working together. So if you guys have ideas or thoughts or needs, let me know and I'll see what I can do. I am a nosy person. I like to be involved. Any questions?
Once again, Sue, thank you for your amazing report. You always give us all the info we need. My microphone's dead, so there we go.
Okay. Oh.
Oh, we're
yeah.
there.
Yeah, so just like to thank you guys again for, you know, coming out with for the trunk or treat, not doing the haunted bus. And the program for the teens here in Searchlight is amazing too. So you're right, they usually do get overlooked for the little ones, which is, you know, Christmas is for everybody, right?
Yep.
So just want to thank you once again. And is there anybody from the board with any questions?
Sue, could you just please give the phone number and email so that the website of Silver Rider, so that we can be on the record so that people know how to contact you, so we can keep increasing.
Yep.
50% increase, that's fantastic,
yeah,
year over year.
It's been a bonus for me. So it's our local phone number is 702-298-4435. You can email me at sbishop@sntc.net.
Okay.
And I am lead on the emails.
And the website to book, you can book online.
Just go Silver Rider.
Oh, you have to call. Oh, it's called Silver Rider?
You can't make any reservations over an email or online or anything. We are still calling.
Okay, that answers it. We need the phone number out there then.
Yep.
298-4435. Thank you.
We're open Monday through Friday from 8 till 4. So call us. You can leave messages. We'll get back to you. We call back everybody.
And do we have any questions for Ms. Sue Bishop, the Silver Rider, from the public? Awesome. Thanks again, Sue.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. All
right. So item number 8, receive a report from Will Smith with Clark County Water Reclamation District regarding the status of the wastewater system and water usage. Looks like we don't have Will Smith with us. Kayla, would you like to read that one for us?
Sure. So for October 2023, we treated an average of 40,000 gallons per day. October 2022 was an average of 38,000 gallons. There was an increase by 2,000 gallons per day from last year at this time. No sewer service complaints for the month of October. 7 call before you dig tickets for the month of October. And on the back, you will see an influent monthly flow comparison.
Thank you, Kayla.
So the 7 call before you dig would possibly correlate with the water increase when we've always had a decrease in water over the last year. So that would show why it's so important to call before you dig and not waste our community's valuable resources.
Very wise advice. Very wise advice. And moving on to item number 9, receive a report from Parks and Recreation regarding the status of programs and upcoming activities. I'll go ahead and read that one. So Searchlight November 2023 report for Clark County Parks and Recreation. Statistics, October 2023, Calavera, 5 programs, 37 visits. Updates, holiday party will be on December 18th at the Searchlight Community Center from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. following the parade. And Michelle's office hours are Monday through Thursday, 8:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m.
Carl, could you please repeat the parade dates and times?
December 18th, 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m.
The 18th is a Monday?
Yes.
So that was at 5:30 was for the event, but so the parade would be staging at 4:30, takeoff at 5?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
And moving on to item number 10, receive a report from Tyler Young with Searchlight Library regarding current and upcoming programs.
Can I add something to Clark County Parks and Rec report?
Absolutely.
Michelle Brown, Clark County Parks and Rec. There will be a house decorating contest again this year, so decorate up. There'll be a first, second, and third place prize. And that will also be announced at the event on the 18th, as after the parade.
Kyle, can you just repeat that in the record?
So? Yeah, absolutely. So what Michelle was saying is there's going to be a house decorating contest again this year on the 18th after the parade. It will be, the winners will be announced here at the community center. Okay. And that is all for the Parks and Rec report. Moving on to number 10, receive a report from Tyler Young with Searchlight Library regarding current and upcoming programs.
I'm Michael Chapman, the library assistant at the Searchlight Library, and we got quite a few events going on this month. Tomorrow we are going to have Velvet Art Mandelas at 11:30. We're showing I Am Evel Knievel on Friday at 11:30 a.m. Next week we're just open 3 days, but we have events on all three of them. We have sewing in conjunction with Parks and Rec with Michelle at 11 o'clock. And then in the afternoon there'll be a autumn themed story time at 3:30. We're showing the Peanuts movie on Wednesday the 22nd at 3:30. And we're showing Freebirds, which is a children's movie, on Saturday the 25th at 11:30. Our once a month book club is on Tuesday the 28th. The book is We Refuse to Forget, and that's at 11 o'clock. On Thursday, November 30th, we have our once a month painting, which is at 11:30. And then in December, on Saturday the 2nd, we'll be having winter wreath making at noon. On Saturday, December 9th, we'll be showing the movie Ice Age at 11:30. And on Wednesday, the 13th of December at noon, we'll have candle making. So those are the upcoming events between now and the next town advisory board meeting. We have a new allotment of COVID test kits available that are not expired. So you're welcome to come in and get a free COVID test kit that is valid. We are a location that provides feminine care products called Project Maryland, which is available to people, one per person. And the last thing that's going on is on Wednesday, November 29th, I'll be doing an outreach program at the Cottonwood Apartments. I'll be having another game show day. And that's what's going on.
Thank you. Is there any questions from the board? Anything from the public? All right, thank you. Item number 11, receive a report from Kyle Myers regarding current road conditions and public works concerns. I don't have much to report this month. We got two stop signs fixed and a road sign, or another traffic sign that was knocked over. And that's all I got for my report. But if anybody has any questions, concerns regarding public works, anything from the public? All right, thank you. Yeah. So the jumping back to item number 2, recognize Teresa Marshall for her Halloween haunted house to the community of Searchlight.
So I'll take the lead on this one. Kim Colton reached out to me to let me know about what Teresa did for the community by setting up a haunted house. I heard that there's a lot of kids that went through it and enjoyed it, and it was a really well received by the community, and Kim wanted to find a way to appreciate everything Teresa did for it. So we were able to put it on the agenda, and I'll hand it over to Kim to say some few words, but Commissioner Knaff created a certificate of recognition for Your dedication and Searchlight community by creating a spooky Halloween haunted house for all the residents to enjoy. So, and with that, if you want to say anything.
Thank you, Mark and Commissioner Knapp, for recognizing Teresa. And this was done because I think it's like what my thoughts were. I'd like to have some gratitude moments, whether they're done in the at the end of the meetings or just to appreciate our, we have a small community, and to make it known how much we appreciate somebody in the community going above and beyond to help each other. And Teresa does not have children anymore, young. She does have her grandkids come out for the Halloween, but she did it for the love of the kids in the community. And this was a, how many hours would you say you spent? 500 hours probably.
Wow.
Preparing for it, and it was a elaborate, very, very well done haunted house. So.
Thank you, it was fun.
So come and get your award.
Photo.
Thank you.
Come around and take the photo with me.
I didn't brush my hair.
Wow.
I don't know if you heard about the Christmas decorating going on.
Oh yeah, we're gonna do big Christmas.
All right, so moving on to item number 12, announcements of upcoming neighborhood meetings and county or community meetings and events. Got any announcements?
Now has a website that is a work in progress,
And you can just Google Friends of Obequa May and learn more about the organization. And I think these events are on there about the both cleanup and the cactus donation. So, any questions?
Any questions from the board? Questions out there for Judy?
Can you just repeat the cactus that you'll have on December 2nd?
Feral cactus, choya, beaver tail, prickly pear, and hedgehog.
Thank you.
And I also think there may be a few like fishhook and a couple other varieties.
And what was the time again on the cactus giveaway?
December 2nd at 8.
8 a.m. till noon. And Kyle, is that how we got cactuses over in the terrible Herx parking lot? Like the dirt lot by the casino?
The Joshua trees?
Yeah.
That was a project done with the Searchlight Betterment Organization and the Equinox Gold. Did two phases of the project a few years ago. We haven't really touched base with them doing more Joshua trees, but they've been pursuing doing more of the barrel cactus and those kinds of cactuses.
Eventually, they will have, I think, more Joshua trees, but they're going to be working with them.
I think it depends on the step of the process they're in with the BLM when they have to move more.
And also, the Gold Mine will be donating plants to BLM to do some replanting for the area of the burn of the York Fire.
Oh, nice. Michelle had something.
Any other announcements out there?
Any day.
Michelle Brown, 245 East Gavilan Street. There's going to be an electronic recycling drive in Henderson this weekend. I'm going to go in on Friday. If anybody has any old computers or printers or whatever that you want to get rid of that we can't get rid of here, give me a call. You can either drop them off here at the center tomorrow, and I will take them into town for you.
Thank you. When are you going?
I'm going in Friday. I have to be there at 10, so I'll be leaving here at 9. So if anybody can get their stuff to me tomorrow here at the center, then I can just get it all loaded up and take it in Henderson.
Perfect. Thank you. Any other announcements out there, guys? Moving on to planning and zoning, as which we have none. So, general business, we have one item, review, discuss, and approve the 2024 Searchlight Town Advisory Board meeting dates and take any action deemed appropriate.
It is every year the same time, so nothing should be out of the blue.
And so I'd like to go ahead and motion to approve of the meeting dates for 2024.
Second.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And comments by the general public. Period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. If applicable, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Any comments out there?
I have a loud voice too.
My name is Kelly Lehr, L-E-H-R. I'm the new University of Nevada, Reno Extension Program Coordinator for Southern Clark County. UNR, not UNLV, there's only one school in every state that is a land-grant university, and UNR has been there longer. They provide 4-H programs for kids, also different programs for communities all through the state. I'm here to reach the southernmost part of the state. I was hired about 2 months ago because this part of the state is the most underserved. So I'm doing my darndest to try and reach out to both communities. I work Searchlight and Laughlin. I'm based out of the 55 Civic Way office in Laughlin, and my primary hours are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 8 to 4, but you will see, thank you, Officer Jeter, for letting me park the UNR truck over at the Metro substation because I'm a Boulder City resident, and I drive here and switch vehicles and use the university vehicle to do my running around. So you'll see that. I'm trying to be a little bit more visible. I might have come in and introduced myself. I do know the Woodberrys very well. Live in the same town with them. I see the Rod Woodberry and his wife riding their bikes everywhere. So this is a small community just like where I live, and I love it. So I'm going to try and serve it to the best of my ability. If you don't know anything about 4-H or the land-grant university, they have programs. I told Laughlin yesterday, my background's in education. So I am a teacher. I've been certified in the state of California and Nevada. My background is physical education and health. I have been a coach for years, over 30 years. So working with children, I worked for the city of Boulder City for 7.5 years, and it just made me want to get back and work with children again. So that's really my passion. The programs are fantastic. The best part, they're free. So we use that land grant money, which is federal, county, and state money, and we put it back into the community. One of the caveats of me being hired in this position was that we were going to get a community garden going. And the community garden, I was here this morning meeting with the horticulture specialist from UNR so that he could look and see what the best site was. Kyle met us. We were kind of looking at fencing for protection, sun. It needs, 6 to 8 hours of sun. I was told several times, Kayla, have you seen her garden? So we're going to get together after this, and we're going to talk how we can get some volunteers involved, because that's how the program works with 4-H. Right now, I'm the only one working. There is a job opening for a CBI, which is a community-based instructor, and that is somebody who will be going into the classrooms and helping out and helping me try and run as many programs as we can throughout the week. I've touched base with Joan at the Senior Center, have been delivering the Healthy Living monthly newsletters because she visits shut-ins. I really would like to get the Senior Center involved in the community garden. I've met with the acting principal, Mr. Schrock, at the elementary school. My vision is to have the kids have a bed that they could work as well. But I did meet with Tyler, which I think might be our best option, is to run some programming at the library. It sounds like you have wonderful programming. This is just to build on it and give them some. So some fun things on your table, if you guys didn't see, I do have the Ozobots, which are the little tiny robots. If you push the button on the side, it follows a color code. I'm running a program at the elementary school in Laughlin, and they're learning how to code. We talked about coding as a language, and so we learned different languages. And so they're playing with their Ozobots, and they color code, and that gives it command. So I put it there that Kayla's playing with it, if any of you guys want to look at that. We also have, and I did talk to Kim about just some different, like, civic engagement and manners and things that we can work into some of the lessons, because all the lessons are hands-on, very tactile things for the kids. It's fun. Their motto is learn by doing. So they're not going to listen to me talking teacher speak for an hour. They're going to be engaging in Lego builds and robots and slime. If you were at Trunk or Treat, I was the witch and my husband was kind of the weird scientist guy. And we used the slime a lot because I made it pink because it kind of looks intestinal. But, it, you know, you make the at-home slime and the kids love that. That's a fan favorite. And then the other one is the glitter jar, if you're wondering what that is. And that's kind of to assist with self-control. So we talk to kids about self-esteem, taking deep breaths, meditative efforts, and that glitter has to fall all the way to the bottom before you react to something. So a lot of times they react right away with their phones in their hands or their tempers, and so it's giving them some tools, and that's what 4-H is. It's 4-H stands for head, heart, hands, and overall health. And they have a little pledge, and they pledge to be better people and serve their community. And most of them do as adults, if any of you were ever in 4-H. It's not just agriculture, which a lot of people think, oh, horses and planting. It isn't. It's STEAM, which they've added an A. So it's science, technology, engineering, art, and math. And we try and make it as fun as possible so they find their spark. They'll find something that maybe has not been presented at school, and hopefully they fall in love with it and they follow that. So that's what I'm here tonight to share, that I have a dedication to Searchlight. And with the help of all these people up here that I've been trying to meet with them and talk with them and get ideas, and I hit the ground running. So if you're interested in donating time, or you have this particular skill or hobby that you think the kids would learn, if there's anybody who wants to donate any amount of funds toward the program, we do have a camp in Alamo. That's my goal, is if there are only 9 kids at this elementary school, I would love to get a van and take them to that camp if they've never experienced it. And they spend a week, and they go overnight, they learn how to sew, they learn how to fish, they sit around a campfire. Some of these kids have never experienced it, some of them have, but they learn friendship, they learn teamwork. For 2 years during COVID, a lot of them didn't have any of that. And so we want to get them engaged again and have some support. Part of the support of 4-H too is finding adult champions. And so that's where the volunteers come in. So we're cheerleaders and we're teachers and we're coaches. And so if any of you, you know, want to help out with that, I'd appreciate it. I have business cards with me tonight. If any of you want my information and my contact information, I'd be happy to meet with you, and please play with the things I left up there so that you know some of the preliminary things that we started with. Do you have any questions for me?
Any questions from the board?
Just comments. So glad to have you and start getting this really moving forward, especially the garden, which has been a list, the bucket list item for all of us for over a year. So with you moving it forward is fantastic. But the other focus, too, is for the kids. I was in 4-H, and I know it made me a better person with the 4-H is the head, heart, hands, and health.
And overall health.
Health, yeah. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Very excited to work with you. Is there any questions from the public? Thank you. All right, so put it out there one more time. Any comments by the general public? Our next meeting date is December 13th, 2023, and I'd like to motion to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Meeting adjourned. Thanks for coming, everybody.
This was not. How do you turn it on?
Yes, ma'am.
Just the red button. I guess.